Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, and welcome to the TNT Hour on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. And this is the not-so-mainstream, in fact, it's very alternative news, and we are going to talk about some things that you just won't hear on mainstream. Why not? Because it's propaganda. Guess what? They've got your mind fixed on shows like The View, Oprah. Of course, I don't mean to tout ABCIA. They're all CIA. CBSIA, NBCIA, CNNIA, HNNIA, FoxIA, Foxia, that'd be a good name, huh? Anyway, we're going to talk about some news items. I've been kind of going through some different sites that are telling us what's going on. And I did a show very recently, in fact, I think it was last night, if I remember correctly, on the gold issue around the world. And I don't mean, is it time to buy gold and panic? If you're not rolling in dough, it really makes no sense having gold. What is about to transpire on this planet if the dark ones have their way is going to be so horrific, money's not even going to matter. You're just going to be looking for a place to hide. Spirit sort of tells you what you have to do on a day-to-day basis, and you make your daily decisions based on what your higher self is telling you. Now, this is also spiritual news, so if I just go off on a tangent and explain something, it's explaining it as I best know the truth. What we hear in the news is what has leaked out, primarily on the alternative news. We're not hearing what they want us to hear. What they want us to hear is these nonsensical stories and feel-good, what could you call them? Well, they're little vignettes, I guess you could call them, about a certain person or a certain thing. Of course, they put the fear thing out there. You hear about deaths and accidents and the trials and tribulations people are going through. You rarely hear about the good things, accomplishments of certain people, especially when it benefits the whole world. They don't want those stories to get out because it uplifts the vibration of mankind. So the negative news is designed to keep us down in our vibration. So what is the alternative news about? Well, it's recognizing what's going on in it from a different perspective, trying to leave as much spin out of it as we can. And then, of course, it's dependent upon the consciousness of the journalist that's writing the particular story. I'll be reading a story that's talking about a big scandal, and then all of a sudden we get the spin. And so the truth behind the scandal is never really told. The scandal is mentioned, but the story becomes something of a background or something that's in the background. And so we don't really hear about it anymore. And because the mainstream doesn't pick it up, we sort of think, well, it mustn't be real important because the mainstream's not reporting it. The mainstream is not going to report issues that are critical to exposing corruption, issues that are critical to exposing the truth, issues that would empower the people, because they don't want the people empowered. They want the people under the thumb, and the media is just serving as the mind control element of that, to condition you, to keep your attention focused off of what is really happening, and accepting all these illusions that they put forth, TV shows, TV programs, sitcoms, movies, entertainment. I think it's, I love dancing, and yet I think it's ridiculous to watch people who can't dance in a dance contest. Just like it's ridiculous to watch people who can't sing in a singing contest. Or to watch people who have no talent in a talent contest. They've driven the level of of consciousness down to such a low level that when something really important is there and it comes out and you have to make a decision on it, it has the value of all these other things that they put in front of you. And so the most people are not interested, and they say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, if that was the case, this show wouldn't exist. I'm one person bringing this news to you, and yet I'm able to reach a lot of people through the medium of internet radio. So one person can do a lot, and just like I can do it, you can do it. And so I'm going to mention a few things. I think these articles that I've, a few that I picked out to talk about are important. We always say follow the money. Now this comes from rawstory.com. It's called Predictions for Bush Legacy of Budget Deficit Grows. President George W. Bush is leaving taxpayers with more than a spate of scandals, tax cuts, and warrantless wiretapping. He's also leaving the American people with a massive $438 billion deficit next year, some 8% worse this year, at $407 billion. The $438 billion deficit next year does not include any accounting for Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, the mortgage giants the U.S. just took into receivership, and whose loans U.S. taxpayers are now responsible for. Notes AP, that's the Associated Press, the CBO figures for this year are slightly worse than White House predictions released in July. The new figures, while expected, offer fresh evidence of the difficult fiscal environment facing the next president, AP adds. Many budget experts believe either Democratic Barack Obama or Republican nominee John McCain will have to ratchet back their first-year agenda because of the bleak budget picture. President Bill Clinton left office with a federal budget surplus of $127 billion in 2001. That surplus was $200 billion in 2000. Well, first of all, I could tear this whole article apart. It's drawing attention to the fact that we do have a deficit, but the figures are absolutely ridiculous. They've been pulled out of thin air. They have no substance. You have a government that's doing double books or triple books, if they're keeping books at all, and they're stealing money left and right. Money's being funneled out of the court system into real estate. It's going then from the real estate. The real estate is basically becoming an international event where people who are participating in these money laundering schemes are given vast amounts of money for their participation. They're purchasing the real estate at bargain basement prices, and in many instances, most instances, and possibly all instances, tax-free. These transactions are being done on the sly, and people are not aware that they're going on. You see someone's house was foreclosed, but you find nothing out about who got the house, who owns it, what bank it is, or what individual investor owns it. And then these properties are sold, or when they're sold, that money, which has now been stolen, is put into derivatives and hedge funds and taken into offshore accounts. So it's a way to take the tangible wealth of Americans and convert it into offshore money. In essence, that's what's happening. It's done through a corrupt system, the fiat money system, where this money is created out of thin air and producing all this debt. You can see that those that are pushing for a new world order are doing it in America by taking over the property of private citizens. Although the way the Constitution and even the Bill of Rights is worded, we're sabotaged. We have no way to win this thing unless we stand our ground and proclaim our sovereignty, because I don't have a copy, a personal copy, and they've not got my signature on that agreement that permits them to do that. So that said, with the scandals that are going on in the hedge funds hedge fund and derivative accounts, and we know this is the case because there are brokerage firms that are crashing and burning. And who comes to their aid? The Fed, the very institution that creates money out of thin air. They're giving them the money. It's paper, but it's giving them the power to acquire all this tangible physical wealth, which can, by the way, be converted into gold, which was my story on Evident Footprints last night. So when you start connecting the dots and you compare these things, these numbers mean absolutely nothing. How can it be with the Fed taking over the Federal Reserve, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac accounts, how can it be that we only have a surplus of, or let's say a deficit of $438 billion, when the Fed itself is over $1 quadrillion, maybe $1.4 to $1.5 quadrillion in the red? It's impossible. So the very institution that's taking credit for us having maybe a $407 or a $438 billion deficit in the coming year, how can that be? Where did they make up this extra money? It's impossible. So these figures are just misleading. They're just thrown out there, and we're supposed to just accept it because somehow it came through the media. This is from an alternative media source, but they're repeating the figures that are thrown out there, and I can tell you that anyone who was interested and concerned about the budget deficit would not be doing the things they're doing. The private business deals, selling computers that taxpayers paid for. We're talking about expensive computers, selling them to their private friends and pocketing the money. George Bush and Dick Cheney, for example. And this has been seen going on in the White House. You should be outraged by what's going on. So this story, although it's portending another deficit, more losses, I'd say tack that on to what the Fed is in the red already, and you're now getting close to $2 quadrillion. That's what that means. But see, this is debt assigned to the people. Why? Who is spending $1 trillion in Iraq and Afghanistan and getting ready to start another war in Pakistan and Iran? And they've got the Georgians fighting Russia. The CIA provoked that. So we're up against all of these different scenarios here, and meanwhile people are struggling just to stay alive. They're struggling to pay the high price of food, the high price of medicine and medical care, which is another ripoff. It's just perpetuation of illness is all it is. And then ultimately everything rises in price over oil. They have made oil the secret currency around the world. And they've lied about its availability so they can drive the price up. And they create these scenarios to artificially again drive the price up. I've said on my Evident Footprint show, and I've mentioned it a couple of times on this show, that we are paying astronomically high prices for oil and there's no justification for it. Why is it that Venezuela, which produces oil, and actually, I don't think Venezuela comes close to having the reserves that the United States has. Just take Alaska alone, or Colorado, the find in the Green River area of Colorado. Those two finds up at Prudhoe Bay and Colorado surpass what Saudi Arabia has at least by 4 times, and maybe as high as 6 to 8 times. As much oil as they have in Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq. And yet we're paying ballpark $4 a gallon. In some places in the country, it's much more. But let's round it off to $4 a gallon for gasoline. And we're talking regular unleaded. We're not even talking about higher octane gasoline. and Venezuela pays 12 cents. And it has a ring of truth that that's possible because Lindsay Williams, who has been on Evident Footprints, wrote the book, The Non-Energy Crisis, disclosing the plans to raise the price of oil up or gasoline up to $5 a gallon by 2008. It's reached five in many places or gone even higher. So he was correct. He says that the cost of producing oil per barrel in Saudi Arabia to bring it to market is 50 cents a gallon, 50 cents. And they're paying 12 cents a gallon for gasoline in Venezuela. Now, why is that that we're paying so much higher? And it's all related to the corruption. It's related to the scandals in the housing industry. Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are just scratching the surface. It's related to the scandals in the Justice Department and the money laundering that goes on there, the pure trusts and the offshore accounts that the judges and the attorneys and their co-conspirator court experts, child psychologists, have. And they put these people in prison, and who makes the money? Barbara Bush and Bob Barker owning the Keefe Company that services all the prisons across the country in foods. And then you have the Bush family's involvement with the Delaware North Company, the new name of former Emprise, and then Sports Services, which has all the professional sports concessions contracts for 30 years. You have the Bush family making money on that, too. See, they're into the cash cow business, anything that produces quick cash. Get it and get it into the bank, launder it, get it into an offshore account. Convert it to gold if possible, bury the gold, hide the gold, steal the gold, whatever they have to do. That's what we have going on. Now, this may sound like a rant, but this is all based on research and fact. And I'm not asking anyone to believe me. Do some research, and you'll see that it's true. I read an article last night on Evident Footprints from David Guyatt, The Secret Gold Treaty, which disclosed where the gold had been stolen prior to and during World War II and after World War II. And I've seen certificates of deposit where I know that the gold has been stolen from the banks that are holding these certificates. And we have in our country foundations that actually have certificates of deposit, treasury certificates they're called, which will create jobs, will create new technologies, it will stop starvation, it'll definitely save the people that are losing their homes, and they're stealing those, and they're not in their names, and they're stealing them. How much longer are we going to put up with this? How much longer are we going to tolerate this as a people? We like to think of ourselves as free. It's disgusting. Another article here. Scholar, Chinese, and this again comes from rawstory.com. Cheney secrecy laying groundwork for possible history heist. While they might not like to admit it, President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney are, at the end of the day, employees of the American people and four generations of precedent, not to mention U.S. law, require that the people be allowed to audit their performance once they leave office. We should be auditing their performance while they're in office. Scholars, that was my comment. Scholars and open government advocates, though, are sounding the alarm that Cheney, perhaps the most secretive and influential vice president ever, I would personally replace the word influential with corrupt, who entered government service during Richard Nixon's administration, I am not a criminal, could be returning to Tricky Dick's disdain for open government. A lawsuit filed Monday would force Cheney to comply with the 1978 Presidential Records Act, one of an array of post-Watergate reforms meant to redress Nixon's abuse of the office. Nixon should have never been pardoned. Nixon was a traitor and a criminal, even though he said, I am not a criminal. The act requires outgoing administrations to hand over executive branch documents to the National Archives, where the records are preserved for future historians. Problem is, Cheney's crafty lawyers have argued he is not a member of the executive branch. My goodness. And President Bush, early in his tenure, amended what could amount to a giant loophole to the act that would allow Cheney to simply toss his papers into the fireplace on his way out the door. Now, quick comment on that. We've already had two fires, one in his office in the White House, and another one in the old executive office building some months ago. There was a so-called electrical fire, and they had to have a Marine go in there and throw equipment out the window. And this was in the act, or they were in the act of destroying records related to 9/11. That's what that was about. Of course, the media didn't report a lick on that. It was the alternative media, mostly on the internet, that did. I think we're at a crossroads, said historian Martin Sherwin, one of the plaintiffs in a lawsuit that would force Cheney to preserve and hand over his records. There's a possibility here for what I call a history heist or a historical theft from the American people. Now, I've been talking about quite a bit of theft, and here someone is talking about the theft of his documents. While they steal money, this guy is writing about the theft of these documents. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, an open government watchdog that filed the lawsuit, hosted a conference call Monday with Sherwin and other experts. Crew's top lawyer, Ann Wiseman, said the concern that Cheney could dodge the requirements of the Presidential Records Act stems in part from a Bush executive order issued in November 2001. Now, I remind the listening audience that in November 2001, they were meeting secretly in Manila in the Philippines to exchange arms, weapons, cash, what they called red mercury, and computer equipment and software with Al-Qaeda. Namely, an individual called Datu Ben Abu, who met with some FBI agents, probably some CIA agents, a Dr. Navarro, and a Madam Talaki. Leo Wanta wrote about that and sent a memo to Dick Cheney, which Cheney forwarded to Condoleezza Rice. Rice forwarded it to President Bush. And they were describing people getting their, quote, boxes, unquote, and that the boxes were disappearing, and everybody was clamoring for their boxes. And it was probably gold. The order amended the act to require disclosure of only the executive records of the vice president's office, meaning anything Cheney argued fell under his role as the member of the legislative branch could be kept secret indefinitely. Now, let's just ask a rhetorical question. What is to be secret about laws? Why would we have secret laws, and why would any discussion regarding legislation be kept a secret from the American people? Is it because there might be some corruption going on? And this, of course, is excluding a story I covered previously about the $19.95 toasters that were stolen from a warehouse in Indiana and sold through Cheney's in-house Halliburton office run by the CIA in the White House and in the Pentagon. Toasters that they upped the price at the expense of the American taxpayer to $1,891 apiece. And when asked why the price had been so high, he said, these have titanium, and these are for the soldiers in Iraq. And I, personally, this journalist suggested that maybe they're plugging them into camel dung piles in the middle of the desert. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's go back to this now. Weissman noted that phrase does not noted that phrase does not appear anywhere in the Presidential Records Act itself, nor are executive records mentioned anywhere in the legislative history of the law. Because the vice president also serves as president of the Senate, I think it's called president pro tem, they call it, a position that accounts to essentially playing official tiebreaker in the event of a 50-50 vote, Cheney's office has argued he is not a member of the executive branch. Well, then they should kick him out of the White House. He has no business being in there. Cheney and his inner circle have sought this distinction to avoid all manner of oversight that would greet normal members of the executive branch. The potential they'll use it to deny historians a look at his office's inner workings is just the latest affront. Now, the farce of this whole thing, they're making it sound like these historians are going to come in and possibly tell us the truth, when in reality, for the past 60 years, we know for certain, they have been paying historians to rewrite a corrupt history. So this is all meaningless. This whole article is even meaningless. Why am I reading it? I'm just showing you how even in mainstream media, these stories don't come out, and when they do come out in alternative media, the spin is so obvious that you can't make any sense of what's going on. I mean, we have to use some discernment here. They've corrupted our history. We're not getting the real history, so why should we be upset over the fact that Cheney doesn't want to release his records? The issue should be, what crimes has he committed that these records will reveal, and investigate the crimes and put him in jail? That's what should be happening here. We get into these, we have to seal these records. Every time there's a scandal, every time there's murder, every time there's corruption, they have to seal the records. They have to form a commission to investigate it, because the commission is outside the law. Who are these people that they're above the law? The laws that they create, who are they? The article goes on, and I'm calm now. I got that off my chest. Because the vice president also serves as president of the Senate. President of the Senate. So where should he be? Should he be camped out in the Senate office building? I think it's called the Rayburn office building, where they had a shootout a year ago during the summer. And they pawned it off as a construction accident taking place in the Rayburn office parking garage. Okay, back to the article. Weissman noted that Crewe was hardly unfounded in suspecting Cheney might try to avoid handing over his records. Unfortunately, with a White House as prone to secrecy, and it's the secrecy is because of the criminality, and as careless about keeping records as this one, well, they keep double and triple books. I wouldn't say they're exactly careless. I would just say they're not honest. Even if Crewe succeeds in forcing Cheney to hand over his records, no one will ever be able to say for sure what has already been destroyed. And I mentioned that with the fire that occurred in Cheney's office, in the White House, in the West Wing of the White House, and also the one that occurred in his office in the old executive office building. Now, what does he have an office there for? One should question that. The White House already is under fire for losing up to 10 million internal emails. Internal emails we're talking about to each other. We're not even talking about from the public. Including correspondence from Cheney's office during key days in the battle over his secret energy task force and in the Valerie Plame case. Okay, we know the Valerie Plame case was another cover-up. And his secret energy task force, what was that? That was where he got his people at, again, taxpayers' expense to go up into Canada and some other foreign countries doing oil exploration and negotiating deals on undeveloped oil wells. That began as early as 2001. And I've seen the documents. They're online. You can find them online, actually. We already know there is at least that much of a gap, Weissman told Raw Story on Monday's call, as far as what the vice president has done in his 7-plus years in office. It's anybody's guess. Well, he's orchestrated a fake terrorist attack on New York City, taking down the World Trade Center and Building 7, which was a CIA operation as well as a worldwide Illuminati operation in conjunction with the Israeli Mossad and probably the Sayeret Mactal. And not to mention the put options in the airline industry and other paper-trailed corruption that went on, particularly in the internet business. And if they're listening, then they know what I'm talking about. And that will be coming out in a future article, by the way. There is a paper trail to 9/11, and there's a people trail to 9/11. And incidentally, all the 19 hijackers with box cutters, that's fiction. A total fiction. Many of those people have been found where they are living, and their identities were stolen, just like our identities are stolen on a daily basis. It all comes back to the housing crisis and the mortgage fraud and the hedge fund and derivative fraud that's going on. It's all related, folks. We're going to take just a short breather here so I can take a little sip of water. And we're going to come right back with the TNT News Hour, so don't go away.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Back with our second segment of the TNT Hour. So nice to have you with us. If you just joined us, my name is Don Nikoloff, and I'm the Wednesday host. In fact, this show right now is only on Wednesdays. Don Newsom had to retire, and he's in his ninth month, I think, now, and the baby's due any day. No, I'm just kidding. If he's listening, he's cracking up right now. Let's see. I had mentioned Fannie Mae. There's another interesting article which comes from Global Research, and they're up in Canada. And they come out with some pretty interesting pieces. And you would ask yourself, why are the Canadians or why is anyone in Canada interested in what's going on in the United States? Well, we heard something. They're always interested because, in a sense, they've always considered themselves our brothers. And we have more or less considered themselves or ourselves brothers to them, or brothers and sisters. It used to be that we could just pass through the border. You might have to answer a couple of questions like, where do you live and what's your reason for being here? Are you carrying any food or wood or plants or anything like that? Nowadays, you're treated as if you're a terrorist. Really, that's like, they should say, they should just ask, do you work for the government? And then if you say yes, then you're a terrorist. But that doesn't happen, of course. They spin it and make the people the bad guy. They just become more the bad guy themselves in the process. It's insane, the game that's being played. But the Canadians, especially Global Research, is very interested in what's going on here because the future of the world depends on this country's ability to stand on its feet and the people waking up to what's going on and just saying, you know, we're tired of it. We're fed up with it. It's going to stop right now. That's what we have to do. Okay, so this article, again, Nationalization of Fannie and Freddie, Most Radical Regime Change in Global Economic and Financial Affairs in Decades. The now inevitable nationalization of Fannie and Freddie is the most radical regime change in global economic and financial affairs in decades. For the last 20 years after the collapse of the USSR, the fall of the Iron Curtain and the economic reforms in China and other emerging market economies, the world economy has moved away from state ownership of the economy and towards privatization of previously stated, I should say, state-owned enterprises. There's a typo in there. This trend was aggressively supported by the United States that preached right and left the benefits of free markets and free private enterprises. Today, instead, the U.S. has performed by far the largest nationalization in its history. By nationalizing Fannie and Freddie, the U.S. has increased its public assets by almost $6 trillion and has increased its public debt liabilities by another $6 trillion. Now, isn't that interesting that I mentioned that earlier? And trust me, I'm reading this for the first time. It was the headline of this article that caught my attention. It's exactly what I said, that they're assigning the debt of what they're privatizing, which means some private individual, some private entity, some private corporation has acquired $6 trillion worth of property. Who do you think that might be? And the debts for acquiring that $6 trillion property has been assigned to us. This is insanity. And it's insane that we permit this to go on. That this, if this is true, and trust me, it is. Only I would say the number is probably 600 trillion, not 6 trillion. This is, again, there's a bit of spin, but they're basing it on the figures that are published. So I'm not going to fault the person that wrote this article. But think about that. $6 trillion. The U.S. has also turned itself into the largest government-owned hedge fund in the world. I mentioned hedge fund earlier, too. And here it is in this article. Is it just me, or is it just this journalist and me, or is that what's really going on? Okay, by injecting a likely $200 billion of capital into Fannie and Freddie and taking on almost $6 trillion of liabilities of such GSEs, the U.S. has also taken the biggest and most leveraged LBO, or leveraged buyout, in human history that has a debt to equity ratio of 30. $6,000 billion of debt against $200 billion of equity. Now, Where do you think that $200 billion figure came from? Isn't that the amount of money that it took to bail Bear Stearns out of trouble a few months ago? Do you remember hearing about that? I did talk about that on both Evident Footprints and on the TNT Hour. Exactly $200 billion was pumped into Bear Stearns. And it was what we had heard later on was it was the Queen of England and a Saudi Arabian prince that had forked the money out to save their butts. Isn't it interesting? Now, when you start connecting the dots, all of this makes sense. You see, now they found a way to assign all this debt and make us take the loss, even though somebody put up the money. Why are we paying for the debt? Why are we paying for this debt, for their corruption? Why are we tolerating this corruption? Why? I guess I'm going to just keep asking why until somebody gives me an answer. Why? Socialism is indeed alive and well in America, but this is socialism for the rich, the well-connected, and Wall Street. I guess there's part of my why right there. A socialism where profits are privatized and losses are socialized, with the U.S. taxpayer being charged the bill of $300 billion. This biggest bailout and nationalization in human history comes from the most fanatically and ideologically zealot free market laissez-faire administration in U.S. history. These are the folks who for years spewed the rhetoric of free markets and cutting down government intervention in economic affairs, but they were so fanatically ideological about free markets that they did not realize that financial and other markets without proper rules, supervision, and regulation are like a jungle where greed, untempered by fear of loss or of punishment, leads to credit bubbles and asset bubbles and manias and eventual bust and panics. The ideologue regulators who literally held a chainsaw at a public event to smash unnecessary regulations are now communists nationalizing private firms and socializing their losses. The bailout of the Bear Stearns creditors. Ha ha! Listen to that. And I just mentioned that. The bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I opened with the at the top of the show with this. The use of the Fed balance sheet. Hundreds of billions of safe U.S. Treasuries swapped for junk, toxic, liquid private securities. I mentioned that, too. My goodness, what a great article. To provide hundreds of billions of dollars of liquidity to distressed, illiquid and insolvent mortgage lenders, the use of the SEC, I mentioned them too, to manipulate the stock market, restrictions on short sales, the use of the U.S. Treasury to manipulate the mortgage market. Treasury will now, for the first time, outright buy agency MBS to manipulate and prop up this market. The creation of a whole host of new bailout facilities, TAF, TSLF, PDCF, to prop and rescue banks, and for the first time since the Great Depression, to bail out non-bank financial institutions, and a whole range of other executive and legislative actions, including the recent bill to provide a public guarantee to mortgage for banks willing to reduce their face value. My goodness. And I mentioned all of this, and I swear to my listening audience that I did not read this article. I pulled this up according to the title of the article. It got my interest, and I saw it said Global Research, and I knew it was going to be pretty good. This is the largest state intervention in a capitalist economy, so foreign investors can earn fat spreads relative to treasuries on agency debt and never face any credit risks. Not even the subordinated debt holders who made a fortune yesterday, as those claims were also made whole. Like scores of evangelists and hypocrites and moralists who spew and praise family values and pretend to be holier than thou, and are then regularly caught cheating or cross-dressing, Woo. I agree with that. Or found to be perverts, these Bush hypocrites, really Scherf, he should have mentioned the name Scherf, who spewed for years the glory of unfettered Wild West laissez-faire jungle capitalism and never believed in any sensible and appropriate regulation and supervision of financial markets, allowed the biggest debt bubble ever to fester without any control, have caused the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression, and are now forced to perform the biggest government intervention and nationalizations in the recent history of humanity, all for the benefit of the rich and the well-connected. These laissez-faire zealots in charge of the U.S. economy have now caused the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression and the nastiest economic crisis in decades. So, let them be shamed in public for the hypocrisy and zealotry that has caused so much financial and economic damage. And there, he's just talking about finances and economics here. What about the American family? What about our educational institutions? What about our infrastructure, our lands, our natural lands? And I'm speaking about lakes and ponds and rivers and streams, the Great Lakes, the oceans, the forests, the mountains, the countryside, all being usurped, all being destroyed. What about our air? We don't have clean water to drink. We don't have food to feed our people. And these criminals are making money hand over fist and making us pay the bill for it, for their corruption. How much longer are we going to tolerate this, folks? How can you listen to this and not become angered? How can you listen to this and allow this to continue on? How can you not set your intention on stopping this in some manner? Sitting down and writing a letter, contacting your local representatives and your state representatives and your federal representatives and telling them that you're not going to stand for it anymore. Screw their laws, because their laws mean nothing. If they can violate them like this and penalize us for their breaking of the law, it's insanity. How much longer are we going to tolerate this? Oh, let's see here. Here's an interesting one. Who is responsible for the surge in food and fuel prices? Now, this affects everyone. Food prices, definitely. If food costs too much money, you don't eat. Or you have to change to genetically modified foods that are going to kill you anyway. Or you just stay on your fast food diet and don't worry about it till you run out of money. Then what are you going to do? This is from naturalnews.com. The impact of the green revolution into biofuels is impacting more than anyone could have guessed on the availability and thus the cost of food. From 2002 until February this year, the cost of a basket of food rose by 140%, according to a World Bank report. That's right. Get the report from someone who's stealing money as well. Okay. The impact is being felt worldwide. We are now facing more pressures about how we work and live, given the rising cost of everything. If we do not work, we cannot buy food, but to get to work in some places, we typically need fuel. If you can walk or ride your bike, you will be better off than people who are given little option but to drive. Those cities and towns that provide little, ineffective, or no public transportation will have citizens under more pressure with rising costs of food and fuel than any others. In a Natural News article last year, David Gutierrez noted a report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, that's the OECD, which said that biofuels may be worse for our environment than fossil fuels. However, the U.S., UK and the EU have continued to encourage the use of biofuels. Of course they will, because they're making hand over fist money that we, again, are paying them to make. And it's tax-free money. And when they have a spill or they have a disaster, we pay for that. Plus, we're paying these outrageous prices. The UK this year ruled that gas, petrol, and diesel had to contain at least 2.5% biofuel. And the EU is looking at increasing that percentage to 10% within 12 years. I wonder why. Is it because there's more profit in that? In Australia, the cheapest petrol, the one most in demand, contains biofuel. Now, I don't know if I agree with that because it's pretty cheap in Venezuela. We already talked about that. Is it cheaper in Australia? Let's move to Australia. Okay, the U.S. government has claimed that biofuels have only put minimal pressure on food prices, around 3%. But this has been contradicted by the World Bank report, which states that the biofuels have increased prices by 75% around the world. Now, that might be more accurate because the World Bank is more aware of the worldwide financial corruption going on. So, I would agree with 75%. Another claim made by President Bush that India and China were pushing up prices through higher demand has also been disputed by the World Bank. Well, you'd have to ask Walmart on that one and probably Bill Clinton, I would guess, to really get the scoop on that. The bank says that wheat and maize production has declined significantly due to the production of biofuels. In the U.S., over a third of corn production is diverted to ethanol production, while in the EU, over half of vegetable oils are used in ethanol production. Increased prices both in food and fuel have sparked financial speculation, which in turn have increased prices. Also, to benefit are the multinational food and fertilizer organizations. According to the independent website, Monsanto profits have increased from $1.44 billion to $2.22 billion. This is the genetically modified food company. This is the company that wants to implant us with chips and just control everything that we do. They want to basically force farmers to buy the seed from them, so that they cannot reproduce plants in the normal fashion. They're modifying the genes to the extent that plants cannot naturally proliferate. So it'd be impossible for a farmer to grow, to save seeds from his crops and grow them. They'll be neutered, so to speak. Organizations representing farmers and fishermen blame the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, as well as FAO, which is Food and Agricultural Organization. By the way, that is a semi-secret UN organization sponsored in conjunction with UNESCO. And they're involved in destroying forests around the world, and they have a particular interest in non-wood forestry products. I think that might mean drugs. On the crisis, citing them as giving preference to multinational agricultural and food organizations. Asia News quotes Jesuit Father S. Aro Kosiami, an economist and theologian. Today, the globalized market economy is focused on the corporate sector, which is based on profits and not on people's needs. This is leading to the creation of more special economic zones and alienating the individual even more from his own land and depriving him of dignity. Today, the economy is hijacked by multinationals. The FAO rejects claims that there is a food shortage, saying there is enough food to feed the world population. Then why do we have starvation? and that there was an increase in the production of grain over the last year compared to the previous five. Others claim that the response by the World Trade Organization, World Bank, and G8 nations simply continues current policies, doing nothing to alleviate speculation causing food prices to increase or to improve agricultural practices and trade. There are undoubtedly ethical considerations in the control of food and fuel if a group of people profit at the expense of another group. And of course, we don't want to harm or sadden a kernel of corn, do we? The issue also highlights the need for extremely careful planning and honesty in our quest to combat global warming, and that is a fraud. Will all those responsible come to the party? Well, folks, we're out of time today. This gives you something to think about, but I've put my finger on where a lot of the corruption lies, and it's quite evident what we have to do. I'll see you all next week. Those of you who would like to come visit me on Evident Footprints tonight, 10 p.m. Pacific time, my special guest Jim Murray and I will be talking about a very important topic, water. In the meantime, special thanks to Don Newsom for making TNT Hour possible, and I'll see you all on this show next week, or see you tonight, 10 p.m. Pacific, on Evident Footprints. Meantime, peace, love, and light, and have a wonderful day. Bye.